Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Town Hall. Today, I am sitting down with Rubicon's Chief Sustainability Officer, David Rachelson, to talk about our ESG, stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance report that came out a few weeks ago. It was appropriately titled Toward a Future Without Waste. David, thank you so much for coming back on to talk to us. I don't think we've had you on the Town Hall since like 2017.
That's right. And it is my pleasure to be back on. And it's obviously been great to see how much success the podcast and you as the host has really done and generated over the years.
Oh, well, thank you, David. I did not pay you to say that. But let's start really easy first and foremost. I mean, for anyone who may not be familiar, what exactly is an ESG report and why is it so important that we published one?
Absolutely. An ESG report, as you noted, environmental, social, and governance, is a compendium or analysis of the best practices a company undertakes in a calendar year toward those objectives, the ESG objectives. And it's a really important way for all stakeholders to understand the real progress that a company is making towards achieving objectives in those areas. And at Rubicon, this was our inaugural ESG report, and we really took the opportunity to outlay what we call the waste wake-up call and the massive problem of the linear economy and the rampant amount of waste that is generated every day across the world, and how the circular economy and technology combined is the solution to solving this problem, continuing to grow business and keep jobs in the economy, and also to solve the challenge around waste in a positive way for society.
I mean, the team, like your team, the sustainability team, and the larger Rubicon team as a whole, I mean, a lot of different contributors, executive leadership, obviously marketing had a hand in it, and our agencies, it's very long. It's very, you know, graphic heavy. I mean, how long did it take and how did you guys put this thing together? You've been working on this for a really long time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into it. And I have a lot of respect for the teams that produce these reports for all companies out there and for my colleagues in the sustainability world, because you're absolutely right, Amy. There is a enormous team effort, and it takes several months of understanding what are the themes that you want to talk about, what topics are material for your business to discuss and to disclose, and then working throughout the company to gather those data points and stories and really important pieces of information to include in the report. And hats off to my team and all the colleagues at Rubicon for contributing to this effort. It really is a cross-functional team effort, and I couldn't be more thrilled for everyone who contributed to this effort, because the output is very important. And in this case, I think it does a great job in describing why Rubicon exists, how we contribute to the circular economy, and what real benefits and impact our company is having in those areas.
That's literally the perfect transition into kind of my next thought for us to talk about is I did want to talk about, you know, some of the sustainability buzzwords that we use a lot and, you know, people may not be as familiar. You know, there's a section in the report towards the beginning after a note from our CEO that explains a linear economy. You know, how it leads to massive waste issues. It's very dangerous for our earth, also for our health. I think there's a section on, you know, carcinogens from landfill, which may cause cancer, and it's also damaging for our wallets. And I mean, the inverse of a linear economy, like you touched on, is a circular one. You are the circular economy specialist at Rubicon. I've been working with you for 3 years, and I hear that word at least twice a week. What are some of the benefits of a circular economy, and what are some of the strategies that we're implementing to get there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we probably take it for granted that people know the difference between the two. So I'll describe those at first and then answer the question in greater detail.
Please.
So a linear economy is really the way that most of the world works today. It's where you take a natural resource, you make a product, and then you use it, and then you throw it away, often in a landfill, or most often in a landfill. And that is really how society has been operating for over 100 years. But as we've learned over time, that way of operating as an economy through manufacturing, sustainable for the environment. And there's this new way of thinking called the circular economy that actually has greater economic benefits and also better environmental outcomes. And what that does, instead of taking that natural resource, which is the first part of the linear economy, and instead of throwing it away in a landfill, what you do is you take the material that you or anyone or any business is done with in their own needs, and then you use those materials as inputs for creating new products and materials. So essentially, you are creating a circular where what was once waste is actually the input into supply chains. So therefore, you're preventing the growth of landfills and all of the negative socioeconomic aspects of those. And you're also preventing the degradation of natural resources when you have to harvest new materials or metals from the environment. And so it really is the purest form of functioning as a society. And Rubicon really brings that to life at scale. So we work with thousands of businesses, tens and thousands, hundreds of thousands of unique locations, and scale it, whether it's in Main Street, in some of the most rural places in the US, or in urban locations. It's hard to actually bring the circular economy to life, given the embedded aspect of the linear economy. But through our technology and through our alignment of incentives, we really bring that to life. And I like to say we're where the circular economy meets the road. So we bring this great aspiration of the circular economy, all these academic studies, but we actually help companies implement it in their day-to-day operations.
The ESG report itself, you know, explains some of those companies and how we're helping them operate. I mean, it is a long report. It is expansive. It covers a multitude of topics. I mean, relating to environmental impact reduction, like we talked about, and then also technology, which we use to innovate and solve global issues. And I think a part that sticks out to me is, you know, in the report is when we're telling the story of some of our partnerships and business cases and how we've helped along the way. What's one part of, you know, the report? And I do feel like, Dave, like I could put you on the spot since you guys have been working on this for so long and you have such an in-depth knowledge of all things Rubicon ESG. Like, what's one part that really sticks out to you? Why is it so important to you? What's one part of the report that, you know, if people skim this thing, you want them to take away?
Absolutely. And I think I'm going to actually answer that and say there are two parts. So the first part is what we call the waste wake-up call. And that is towards the beginning of the report. And it really helps explain to people who don't fully comprehend or haven't thought a lot about the massive challenge of waste in the world. It's a eloquently written section that describes the amount of waste that the world generates, how we export a lot of that waste to China and other countries to forget about, but we're now being forced to actually think about due to the restriction of exporting a lot of the waste and the recyclable materials. And so it does a great job of helping people understand why there's a problem. And then to your point, Amy, there is a section in there about the actual tangible aspects of what we do for both cities and businesses. And we chose to create case studies to help describe in very relatable ways problems that businesses such as Best Buy or Chipotle or the Atlanta Hawks or Sweetgreen have in their everyday operations, and how we've really worked with those companies in a very collaborative manner to address those challenges, to creating waste and how to solve and dispose of those materials in a more sustainable way. Because ultimately those businesses realize that the problem exists. They are getting pressure from pretty much all of their stakeholders, whether it's their own customers or fans, their investor base, and employees. And so what we do, again, is we take this theory of the circular economy, but we work with all parts of a business in every different function, finance, operations, and sustainability, to actually operationalize and bring to life these solutions so that real impact can happen.
There is a large emphasis on our business model and core strategies to move our world, like it's aptly titled, to a future without waste. And a big part of that, I mean, the nucleus of that is our hauler network. And we empower independent haulers, you know, give them access to big national accounts, and they're the backbone of this whole thing. Like, although I would like this episode to be evergreen, and I'd like people to be able to listen to this in December or in 2025 and download, you know, the latest report, I do think it's important to talk about what's going on right now in the COVID-19 pandemic and how we can help keep our sanitation workers safe during scary and unprecedented times. And because we put such an emphasis on the haulers in the report and how we do in our everyday businesses, I thought I would ask you, you know, what are some ways that we can protect these frontline workers during a pandemic? What are some things Rubicon's doing special for our network? We're an essential service in a public health crisis, you know?
Absolutely. And the topic of COVID in the industry is obviously very current and very fluid. But one thing that I think is consistent, and this is something that we've built our business on and will continue to build it on, is the concept of resiliency. And that really transcends all aspects of ESG. But to your point, Amy, there's a big part of resiliency that involves the haulers that we work with and that we rely on. And you aptly describe them as frontline workers. And that's precisely what they are. I think the concept of hero has been expanded through COVID. And in many cases, these haulers are heroes, because they early on were still working when there was a lot of uncertainty about how to protect yourself and how to actually address COVID. But they still got up every day and they still drove up and down the streets to make sure that we lived in a society that was clean and sanitary. And what Rubicon has done is we've advocated for them at every level, including a letter that our CEO wrote to the president and the leaders in Congress, urging for these workers and these businesses to be included in any and all legislation that is currently being discussed or has been released related to any type of stimulus or provisions. So they have to be included, just like any other frontline worker. We have also created a very exciting marketing and social media effort to support these workers. I know that my kids contributed to this Hauler Heroes campaign, and they created "Thank you for all you do. We couldn't do it without you." And those little gestures help them every day. And there's a whole host of other activities that we are considering and want to make sure that we are on the front edge of being able to support these workers in their endeavors.
Okay, Dave, before I let you go, we are going to play a different type of rapid fire. This is the first time that I'm trying this format, and you're going to be my guinea pig, because these episodes featuring Rubicon leadership, you know, I've had you on and Michael Allegretti. I'm calling them micropods. They're, you know, shorter than our regular episodes, and they're explaining company updates. And I think they're going to become a more regular occurrence, especially as the world is all kind of working remotely. So it's a way not only to update our stakeholders and our listeners, but even employees as well. So I did want to try a new game format. It's kind of a this or that, and you just have to answer which one you like more. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Number one, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Mountains or beach?
Mountains, 10 mm-hmm. years ago, beach.
Summer or winter?
Winter, 10 years ago, summer.
Breakfast or dinner?
Dinner.
Phone call or text?
Text.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs, especially because we just put a deposit down on a new puppy.
Yay. What's worse, laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
Passenger or driver?
Driver.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Sneakers or sandals?
Sneakers.
I think it's so funny that, you know, you answer all these ESG questions in the drop of a hat and like genuinely take your time to think about whether you like breakfast or dinner more. David, thank you so much for hopping on here to break down some of the highlights. Like he said, this is our inaugural Rubicon ESG report. And if you guys want to read the full report, head over to rubicon.com/ESG-report and download the document directly. Also, feel free to shoot an email over to sustainability@rubicon.com to get connected to David or his teammates to talk all things ESG. David, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's my pleasure.